Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just praise you and glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time we're in. Praise you, Lord, for all that you're doing with us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're cleaning us up. You're getting us ready for this great and wonderful revival coming up here shortly because of all the things that are going to be happening in the world. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to, the mighty army of the man-child ministry is sitting and ready to come into play, Lord. And we praise you and thank you for that. Glory be to God. And Lord, we just thank you that tonight we ask that you lead us and guide us into the things that you'd have us to speak about. And the thing that we had already put on the platter is, Father God, how to, oh gosh. What is it?
Pressing in.
we were talking about something else earlier. But Lord, we just thank you that we'll clarify this and put everybody in the way to press in, show them how to press in and to speak about what it is to press in. Father, we just praise you and thank you for doing that for all of us. Glory be to God. And Lord, I thank you that when we pray, everybody prays and believes, things happen. Because we're releasing the power in us to that prayer. And we praise you for it, Father. That we know, ooh, Lord of God, thank you, Father, that when we do pray, that things happen. Just like when Jesus hollered out to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. He come out of that cave with all his grave clothes on. And just a waddling out there, Father, and we thank you for doing the same thing for us when the time comes that we need to do that, or any prayer that we have to pray. And we praise you and glorify you, Father, for answering all of our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Glory be to God. Anybody got a prayer request? I got something I want to say in a little bit, but not right now. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
I had a couple conversations with some people today in my walking, in my out and abouts today. And the first one I want to pray for, his name is Sam. He's an older guy. But he used to be a Catholic, but he left all that. And he just believes in Jesus and God. And he reads his Bible and he prays. And, you know, he's... I just believe, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your hand is on him, and he does a lot of good works, and he's still got, you know, that mentality thing about good works and that kind of stuff. But he volunteers and does a lot of cleanup around this neighborhood here for the strip mall area, and he does it for free. And he's got a real complaining heart about what he does, and he's just criticizing everyone. He's just saying how about a bad place it is, and how evil people are, and how just, you know, he was just really putting them all down. But Lord, I thank you for what he's doing. And I thank you, Lord, that you would really just settle this man down and really give him a revelation of who you are. He doesn't understand the fear of God, and he doesn't understand some things, but Lord, you've given him a heart to want to do this and help. And I thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice, and I pray you protect him. When he's encountering some of the people he encounters sometimes and how he converses with them, and just put a wall hedge of protection around him and really reveal yourself to him, Lord, in a supernatural way. Get him filled with the Holy Spirit and bless him for the things he is doing. And I also had a conversation with a neighbor here in my apartment complex that, you know, I've never met before. She lived here 3 years. She's an older lady, and her name is Jill. And I was coming back from an errand I was running, and I'd gotten some lunch, and I saw her sitting in front of a restaurant earlier as I was walking, and she must have gotten up and was walking, you know, right after I walked by her, because I looked behind me and she was right there. So anyhow, and I thought maybe she was going to, you know, she had her keys out. So I thought maybe she was going to go get in her car that was down at the other end of the parking lot or something. And I looked over and I said, we're going the same way. And she's like, yeah. And she's said, you know, that, you know, I'm going home, my apartment. And I said, oh, I swiped straight ahead. She said, yeah. And I said, that's where I live. I said, you're my neighbor. Anyhow, we got to small talking, and she was telling me she'd lived there for, you know, 3 years, and she was planning on, she thinks she's going to have to move. She goes, it's getting so expensive. Our rent just went up, and her lease is up here in March. So I just prayed blessing on her and asked God's grace and wisdom that the Lord will direct her path and where she's supposed to go and provide a place for her. But, you know, then I'm thinking in the back of my mind, it's like, well, a lot of things can turn around here in the next few days and weeks with the reset, the RV, and she won't have to worry about her finances and what she can afford. But I don't know what your plan is and all that, Lord, so I pray that you will bless her and show her where she is to live. And I don't know if she has family around here or not, but I just ask that you would protect her and lead her and guide her. And she thanked me for the blessing and praying for her. And then we were still walking through the complex, and I said, it's like, well, before I go up to my building, which is right through the door we had just walked in, and I decided to go check on my mail. So I was walking with her, and she started kind of having a hard time breathing and catching up and talking at the same time. And, you know, she told me she has COPD. And I said, well, do you smoke? And she said, no, I used to, but I quit 30 years ago because my grandchild was born. I didn't want to be around her with that. So she quit smoking. So I don't know all about this COPD, but I asked her if she could, if I could pray for her, and she allowed me to pray for her. So I did. And just asked God's healing on her. As soon as I started praying for her, I noticed her wheezing stopped, which was really awesome confirmation of what God was doing there. And I just prayed blessings over her. And I just thank you, Lord, for giving me that opportunity to speak with these people today. And I know it wasn't by chance or accident. And I just bless them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for healing Jill. And I thank you, Lord, for doing a work in Sam and doing a work in all of us, Lord. And I thank you for the protection I have here in my neighborhood from all wickedness and even the concerns people have here about where we live. And they just see the changes. That's just something both these people mentioned, is how things have changed, and it just didn't used to be this way, and how evil it's gotten. And I know people are noticing. So I pray, Lord, you use all this to draw people to you, to seek you out, Lord, for answers and to call on your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for healing them all. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Teresa.
For Terry, for my sister, and for the polar vortex that's supposed to come in the 22nd, it says in Psalm 147 that it's God that controls the weather. And so, you know, I just want to pray that God would nullify that polar vortex so that, and make it reasonable, you know, so it's not oppressive and cold and detrimental to anybody. You know, so that it's not destruction. And, you know, the snowfall is reasonable. The cold is reasonable, etc. And then in Psalm 56, you know, for Terry, I was praying, well, God, what would you have me to pray for Terry and my sister, Karen, and for that polar vortex? And God said for Terry, Psalm 56, and, you know, on verse 2, it says, be merciful. Well, I'll start with one. A song for the distressed. Be merciful to me, O God. And I want to give a good report that God has restored Terry's mind. He's restored Terry back. There's no longer any addictions in him at all. He's totally sober. He's totally back to normal. And his mind is totally back. He went and, he's getting back on the street. He went to illustrate what God is doing in his mind. He went, you know, there's a factory, there's a battery factory opening up. And, Terry's been an electrical engineer. And so there's a battery plant opening up in DeSoto. And Terry went and took a test. you know, he just took the first level test. You know, he says he's worked 22 years as an electrical engineer, so he's got all kinds of experience. So when he took this test, it's supposed to be a 3-hour test. He finished it in 1 hour. And when when the examiner, graded it, but, you know, evaluated it, I guess, you know how they do with tests. He said that there's only been two other people that have scored as high as he scored. So that's how much his mind is restored. You know, so it's not right, only restored, it's restored with gifting. And so, he still has some oppression coming against him through his ex-wife. And so, I would like God to, just work with that. You know, in Psalm 56, it says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me." Well, that's his wife, ex-wife. "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." So Lord, I pray what time Terry is afraid, Lord, work with them to trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Lord, I thank you that you're working with Terry, teaching him, giving him revelation so that in God, he will praise your word. In God, he has Lord, I thank you that you're working with him so that in you, God, he puts his trust. That, Lord, you're working with him to do that. He will not fear what flesh can do to him. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. You know, that's so accurate. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. So God, I ask that you bring these things down. God, in your way, in your will. You tell my wanderings. Put thou my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? So Lord, you tell Terry's wanderings, put his tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When he cries to you, then shall his enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for you, God. I ask that you be for Terry. You know, work with him so that you can be for him. And God, I think you already are. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God will Terry praise your word. In the Lord will Terry praise your word. In God has Terry put his trust. He will not be afraid what man can do to him. Your vows are upon Terry, O God. He will render praises to you. For you have delivered his soul from death, and God, you have surely done that. Will you not deliver his feet from falling, that he may walk before God in the light of the living? And Lord, I ask that you do that in Jesus' name for him. And Lord, in Psalm 47, it says that you're the one that controls the weather. And so you give snow like wool. You scatter the hoar frost like ashes. You cast forth your ice like morsels. Who can stand before your cold? You send out your word and melted them and caused his wind to blow and the waters flow. So, Lord, I ask that, Lord, you temper these things. You know, you temper this polar vortex that's coming down upon the earth, upon not only this country, but other countries as well. And Lord, save your people in this. God, help us. And also for my sister Karen, Lord, help her to put her trust in you. I ask that you give her a revelation of yourself. Help her to put her trust in you instead of the doctors, who I think the doctors are the ones that's given her the problems. And so please help her to give her the revelation of yourself and take those infirmities out of her and cause her body just to be healed up and everything working correctly, all her cells working correctly. God, she's trying. She's trying to eat right. at least she has started there. So God, I ask that you help her with the rest in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for getting her off the doctors. All right. Thank you, Lord, for answering everything that I agree with, everything she spoke about, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing the work in Terry. We praise you for giving him that job. Not only that, Lord, for eventually reuniting him with his family, with his son, with his kids, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, we ask also that you grant repentance to his ex-wife. Bring her into the kingdom as well.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Well, I want to thank the Lord for something that he did for me. Last week sometime I woke up and my eye had like a really large red blotch behind it. And I didn't know what it was. So I just prayed about it and asked the Lord to make my eye better. This morning, all the red is gone. It was like on the side of my eyeball, you know. When Ben was here on Thursday last week, he noticed it too, so he prayed for it. And I said, you know, the very same thing to him. I prayed about it, and it's kind of going away, and now it's completely gone. There's no red at all in it anymore. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord for, I called my son-in-law and, he's telling me that he's recovering well and he wants to be with my daughter. It's supposed to be actually decided, I think tomorrow, in the courts. And I pray that, everything be decided right, but he wants to come back home. I offered him an open bedroom here if he wants to come and live here for a while. And he's doing well. He's off his Ritalin that he wanted to take. And he's not taking that anymore. He's saying he's good with the drugs now, and he's off alcohol too. And I pray that he would remain that way, and I thank the Lord for all of this. And he says he's going to church. He's been going to church every Sunday. And I thank the Lord for that too. And I pray that the Lord lead him, guide him, and keep him on his journey. And that he do the same with my daughter too, his wife, because she needs the help too, Lord. And for all that, Lord, and for many other things, for the studies and the prayer answered and my healing, and for all that you're going to do with me and my loved ones and for my brethren here, I pray and I ask, Lord, that that it would be your sovereign hand and your loving hand that would do all these things to give us loving kindness and tenderheartedness toward you and toward all people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And, you know, I'm off of that. I mentioned to him, you know, like you don't want those kind of things interfering with being a father and being a good husband also. So, you don't want to, you got to set your priorities straight as to not allowing these things to take over your family life. You know, you're going to be a dad now, you know. He's 30, both of them are going to turn 31 this year, so that's a full-grown person. That's when Jesus started his ministry at the age of 30, so. There's not much more you can teach them, and the Lord still has to draw them and teach them and grant them a lot. away a whole bunch of stuff and praise and glory to God. And I'm happy to give a good report.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, we thank you. We're going to see even a change in that family, too. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Bess.
I'm just bringing it up because this weekend I'm just making a bit of a confession. I kind of got all caught up in playing a stupid little computer game this weekend, and I got kind of sucked in all my time, and I kind of felt bad about it, so just thought I'd bring it up with the brethren. We can pray about that.
Amen. We just break the power of the enemy of distraction off of all of us right now. I thank you, Lord, that we are cleansed from this right now, and we praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody that has it trouble with this has it no more. We stand on what your word says, Father, not what the YouTube says or the game say. Thank you, Father. We're cleansed of it. We decree it, declare it, that every one of us are clear. Our focus is you, Lord. And we stand on that and that alone.
You, Father.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. It's done. Praise God. Glory be to God. Boy, I feel the presence of God in here. That's just outstanding. Praise God. It's awesome. All right. Yeah, Ben.
It kind of goes with what we're talking about tonight. But when you said you're feeling the presence, is that like part of, pressing in?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about that book that Andrew Murray wrote, Absolute Surrender.
Yeah.
And then there's another one, Brother Lawrence or something, like Practicing the Presence of God or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. Those things were kind of jumping in my head.
Yeah. That's the guy there. I like Andrew. I like the way he puts things. I've read that book also from Brother Lawrence. They're both good books. All right. Anybody else? About what? Go ahead, Joe.
I've got a confession to make. Just after my fast, I did, before my fast, the Lord showed me I'm eating too much at the sitting, that depend of it. But yesterday, after my fast, I did it again. I eat too much. So I just want to confess. I already confessed it to the Lord. But I just gonna press it. Yeah, I'm just eating too much at one sitting, and just have to need to be self-control on my eating. And I just want to confess that. Thank you.
Thank you, Father, for your forgiving ways, Lord, your grace and your mercy upon us. Thank you, Lord, Amen. For that gluttonous demon has gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We're just gonna eat to survive. Amen. We all have to. But boy, those after meal snacks sure are good, you know. But Lord, we repented. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, it was. Thank you, Lord, because I always get happy when the Lord's around. All right. Well, tonight, we'd like to talk about what it is and try to help people understand what it is to press in. You know, they keep telling them, well, press in. That's the answer for everything. Press in the churches. Well, just keep on pressing in. Well, what does that mean? Press in. And I'm just going to open the floor up and see what everybody's testimony is about pressing in. Do we all have the same God? Let me ask you that. Do we all have the same God? Oh, okay. Praise God. So our answers should be somewhat similar, shouldn't it? Maybe in different aspects, different ways that we did, but do y'all want me to just go ahead and point people? Go ahead, Joe.
My take on it, I would say, if people say just start pressing in, I would say first is make sure your heart is right with God before you can do anything. If your heart's not right, doesn't matter how much you press in, that's a blockage thing. So make sure your heart is right, when you can have boldness toward God and asking and believing. That's my take on it.
Amen. That's the first thing we ought to do, is to repent of any sins that we've got in order to be right with the Lord. We ought to be doing that all the time if there's something like that going on. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Judy, go ahead.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about was, you know, pressing into the Lord was seeking Him for, like, if, you know, if you're needing something, or you just want to be in His presence, you want answers, and you want to feel His presence. You know, one of the things I was thinking of, you know, obviously to me would be praying in the Spirit and worship. Worship and praise Him. Those things for sure. But then I was in my reading today, I was just in Psalm 27 for a little while. And verse 4 says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." And you know, to me, that's like David, that's in a way David's saying, that's how you press in too. You know, is seeking after the Lord, and to dwell in His house all the days of his life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. I was like, well, we're priests in His temple. We're His kingdom priests in His temple. And that's what we're doing, is, you know, praying and interceding and getting into the presence of the Lord, making intercession. So that was kind of what came to me about that verse and what David was saying there. And he also goes on and says, verse 7, it says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart says unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. And put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Cast me not off, and neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." And, you know, that's just, it's like, I need you, you know, I need you, and I want you, and don't forsake me, don't leave me. And he just goes on to say, you know, "I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait thou for the Lord." You know, Psalm 27 has become one of my favorite psalms. And but it is just, you know, pressing into the Lord. It's like, wait for the Lord. Keep seeking Him. Keep desiring Him. And keep wanting to know who He is and behold His beauty. You know, and we've been taught, right, to behold His beauty in the mirror, behold His image, His beauty, you know, and seeing Christ in us in the mirror too. So I think that's some of it too. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. That's a lot of it. I like what Andrew Murray says, you know, surrendering to Him. That's surrendering every part of you to Him, pressing into God. Is pursuing Him relentlessly. When all else goes away to the side, it's going after Him with your whole heart. and clinging to Him, staying with Him. It makes no difference what comes in your way. When everything that looks like is seemingly coming against you, stick with God. That's pressing in, pressing in, pressing in, keep pressing in, keep pressing in. No matter what the natural things around you are happening, it makes no never mind. And it's cultivating that intimate relationship with God. All the time. All the time. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, you just said what I was going to say in Proverbs 2, where it says, my son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, you know, this is a little bit different aspect, and search for her as for hid treasures, search for her as for hid treasures, well, search for God as for hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment. You know, that's something. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you, and you know, and then on it goes. But you know, that's pressing in. That's one aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Teresa. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I don't know what all everybody was saying. I had to take something out of the oven, but what was coming to my mind when I was thinking about it, you know, just shutting everything out, you know, to come into the Lord's presence, shutting the world out, shutting down, you know, just the cares of this life, you know, and just focusing on the Lord and, you know, not paying any attention to, you know, just shutting off, you know, like I said, the cares of this life, that's your carnal thoughts, you know, shutting off the physical realm, shutting off what you see, what you hear, you know, physically, your thoughts about all, you know, all that's going on around you, and just shutting yourself in with the Lord, you know, and just to seek Him and to hear Him and to fellowship with Him, and that's just what you know, and I like what Ben had said too, and what you had said too, you know, absolute surrender, just surrendering everything to the Lord, just not having care for anything but the Lord.
Yeah.
So that's what all was going through my mind.
Amen. All right. Anyone else on how to press in to the Lord? Go be it.
Well, I kind of thought about a little bit like what Missy said, because I remember when Jesus would, you know, seclude himself from his disciples, and he even had to go and practice his presence with his Father and pray and, you know, do all those things. And there is the time when you need to quiet down and really listen and meditate and all that. But I don't really think it's necessarily a requirement to be in the presence of God. You know, when I'm at work, I'm in the presence of God, and I'm going to do the best that I can at my job for God. You know, it's not necessarily like being still, but just, I don't really know how to explain it. Like, being bold in him and being walking in him and having him guide my mind and body, and having so much trust in him to make me think properly when I'm at work, because there's things at work that, you know, get on my nerves, and I want him to get rid of the nerves. I want him to make me think properly and not get things aggravating me. And if I just focus on what I'm doing and I'm registering, like, I'm doing this with God, you know, I'm doing it not just with him, but I'm doing it for him. And just to add on to that, I'd like to share something that I'm looking at right now from Brother Lawrence's book, The Practice of the Presence of God. Just a little small something, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
That our sanctification did not depend upon changing our works, but in doing that for God's sake, which we commonly do for our own, that is lamentable to see how many people mistook the means for the end, addicting themselves to certain works which they performed very imperfectly by reason of their human or selfish regards, that the most excellent method he had found of going to God was that of doing our common business without any view of pleasing men, and as far as we are capable, purely for the love of God. So, basically, like, people would be doing things, doing works in front of men to look good, or even to just make themselves feel good. But it's a man referencing to Brother Lawrence. He's saying that he acted just because he wanted to do it for the sake of God and that he loved him so much. Wasn't necessarily following, you know, the Ten Commandments and that, all that, but he was, you know, doing the things for God because he loved doing it for God. You know, I want to do good at my job because I love God. You know, I'm doing it for my boss, but, you know, I'm kind of, because God put me there. God gave me that job, so I'm going to do it for him.
Amen. That's a great way of looking at it. That's actually the only way to look at it. Yeah, Missy.
Well, Ben, that's what comes to my mind. I think it's in Colossians 3. All things whatsoever you do, do as unto the Lord. And a little bit later, that is, you serve the Lord Christ, you know? So, you know, I realize that if, you know, if I'm pleasing the Lord, then it doesn't matter if I please anybody else. Not, you know what I'm saying? If I'm, it's my first goal is to please the Lord. And in pleasing the Lord, hopefully that's not always. I'll be persecuted sometimes for doing things that pleases the Lord, you know, but, then hopefully that'll mean you please other people too. You know, like, you know, you're saying about your job, Ben, you know. If you're doing it to please the Lord, you want to do a good job. So if you're doing a good job, that's going to please your boss too. So, whatever.
Amen. Ben, that is a good verse there. You don't want to corrupt where you are with the Lord. The sanctuary, that's us. So yeah, that's good. Go ahead, Missy. Did you just? I never did put your hand down, did I? Okay, go ahead, Debbie.
Okay. I was thinking that you know, like you said, what's the word? Something just came to mind. I've just lost it. Well, seek me. You know, seek me, and you shall find me. When you search me with all your heart. He's not speaking to. We don't know the Lord. He's speaking to those who us who know him, but we need to give him more of our time. We have to have that under, we have to know within ourselves that we, you know, and admit that I don't give him enough of my time. And I need to spend more time with him and not think we have to stress out over it. Well, I got to give more time to the Lord Jesus. I got to give more time, you know, and, but just start getting into his word and, pressing in is like wanting to go deeper with him. Noticing a lack in our relationship because maybe we're not spending enough time on the word, or we rush and think, okay, I'll give him some time right here and give him a little bit of our leftover time or something at the end of the day. But, it's to me, pressing in is just wanting a deeper relationship with him. And to do get that, it's spending more time in him in prayer and worship and, listening to what he wants to speak to us from his word or speak to us in our spirit when we're just sitting before him and are praying, and we just want to have that time with him. It's just giving him more time, I think, so we can develop a deeper relationship with him. And I think there's something, and I can't find it. I thought there was a verse which says, when you tell me seek you, I said, my heart, Lord, will I seek. There's a verse like that, and I can't find it. So he wants us to seek him more. So, it's one thing to, you know, I know we all know it's one thing just to know him. We know we're saved. We walk with him. We read our Bible. We have our godly friends and our Bible studies and we get in the word, and but he wants that real personal time with us and not just something that we do as a fad for a little while and then stop it. But I pressed in a while. It's a daily thing. Just press in, spend more time with him than we do if we can, as much time as we can. So, if that makes any sense. So,
yeah.
Listening for his voice and more than just being nonchalant about knowing him, we want to really keep him with our whole heart, as he says to do. So.
Amen.
Purposely.
Amen. You know, Debbie, that's one of the things that I've been looking back on myself, and there's been a lot of times, lots of times that I could have been with the Lord and I was distracted. And we talked about it a while ago, and prayed about it. So I'm just believing right now that everybody is going to be full-fledged surrendered to what we were talking about tonight, and that's practicing the presence of God from Brother Lawrence. Same thing. That's awesome. Thank you. Go ahead. Are you through, Debbie? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I was thinking today that God can read your mind.
Yeah.
Jesus was told, my God, that these Pharisees are, you know, when they took the roof off the house there and they had the roof off the house faith there and they lowered the guy down, he said, the first thing, your sins are forgiven you. And then the religious crowd was saying, he's blaspheming. And of course, Jesus could read their mind too. So God gave him the ability to read their mind. I believe we can read people's minds too. God could give that to you because, especially with the worldly and the worldly things, so you can read some people's minds. And, you know, we have a relationship with a father. We're not his servant. And he knows everything that, about you that he needs to know. So that this should give a motivation that you can't hide anything from him anyway. I know we get distracted, but we have to get the Lord to help us out of our distraction too.
Amen. You know?
And you know, there's a good psalm there in the last verse of Psalm 16. Thou wilt show me thy path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And the joy is the second fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is all the blessings too. And thou wilt show me thy path of life. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So we press in, yes, but it's also the Father pressing into us. Because, you know, he did say that he sent the Comforter, and he did send it already, the Holy Spirit in his name, who's going to teach us all things and remind us of everything he taught us. So there's everything that a person could possibly ever want, you know. There's the love chapter. And of course we know that in the love chapter they had all those gifts, but they lacked something. They lacked that love for pressing in. He goes on to the very end of the book, and then very end of the chapter, and then the next chapter, he says, to press into that love, to hang on to this love, but to actually want to prophesy too about it. And to prophesy about it means you got to have the edification to build someone up, to build yourself up even, which you do for praying in tongues. And the exhortation, everyone gives warning, you know. But I think that these are in a measure all three. When you give warning, you have to build up and you have to console at the same time. If you just, all you do is build up, or all you do is warn, you know, that can make a person stressful. But as for finding this presence too, you know, to, there is the parable, two parables in chapter 13. There, one's a one verse and the other's a two verse. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field, which a man found and hid, and in his joy, you know, that's the second fruit. And of course, that's all the blessings that you were blessed with. And that's of the Holy Spirit, these blessings, the happiness. Goeth and selleth whatever he hath and buyeth that field. And again, the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom is of heaven is like a merchant seeking. We mentioned that word seeking a few times. Goodly pearls. You know, the pearl is a doorway too. And Jesus is the door, according to Revelation 3:20. And having found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. So here's these verses here, these parables. And it's so exciting, you know. There's a lot of verses that will draw you to the Lord. There's, of course, fight the good fight of the faith. When you ask for something, you go, oh, no. I prayed for that. It's done. It's gone, you know. And the Lord convinces you, too, of it, that it's gone. And it happens. So you have to be steadfast in that fight, the good fight of the faith. And of course, you're standing on what the Lord said, not what anyone else said, but what the Lord said. In agreement, this prayer of agreement is really powerful, I believe, with the Lord. And to even when he sent out the 70, he came back and he told them, refresh yourselves now. What did he really mean? You know, have some Kool-Aid or something? I think it was more of a prayer, a right thought measure with the Lord, because they just did some battle. Any soldier that goes out and does battle and comes back, he needs some refreshing. And of course, he'll partake of physical things there. But these people were told to refresh themselves to partake of spiritual items by the Lord Jesus. I always wish I could remember these verses in Philippians chapter 4 from 6 to 9. But it's to keep your thoughts focused. Sometimes, you know, it's a real good verse, you know, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, that's part of your covenant. And the Lord said he's going to write those words on there. From the least of you to the greatest of you. And nobody's going to have to teach you. Because the Lord's doing it. He's put it in you. And when he puts something in there, he doesn't take it back. He can remind you of it. And he already said he'd do that by the Holy Spirit too. When he said the Comforter. So we really have something really wonderful here with the Lord. This name of the Holy Spirit. You know, I said once, kind of comically, you wonder if some of these pastors have to drown these people, but then he ain't going to heaven because he's baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, and we share that name with him. We share the name with the Lord. Even as it says, you know, rejoice that your names are writ in the heavens. So, what kind of name would that be? Anything different from the original three names of those Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I'd like to add one other verse because I'm studying this one. It's in the Old Testament and they did it with the law. And they still practice this to this day. But we practice it in the Spirit. And it's Deuteronomy 11:18. I have it written right here when I'm worshiping. I have it in a sheet of paper here with this. There's three verses here. I got this Deuteronomy 11. Because when I come to that next song, I'll pass by this and I go, oh, I better read my verse. And it says there, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart. And in your soul. And ye shall bind them. Now we know about binding and loosing. For a sign. Makes you think about with this sign. Upon your hand. And they shall be frontlets between your eyes, your forehead. And I go, sign. What's that? What are you talking about here, Lord? And he said, you know, anchor, it's got to do with your image when you look in the mirror. It's got to do with your name. And it's got to do with your mark. There is a false one for the left-handers who want to be goats, because they're in the church too. He told you that in Matthew 25. And then there is the sheep on the right hand. And they got the image, the mark, and the name, which would make up the sign. If you're going to put a, you know, you can take a stop sign and put it on your hand if you think you're going to do something wrong. But don't laugh at that. Because the Jewish people used to take a belt and put it around their arm. And I saw a picture of one, and he had the box here on his shoulder. And in that box are scripture verses telling him how his hands should work. Another one he had around his head here. He looked like he was 14 years old. He was reading the Bible. And there was a box in it. And that box had scripture verses having to do with your mind. You know, like set your mind on things above and not on things upon the earth. It don't matter if you're in bad company or company of a myriad of different divisions of Christianity. You still have to do what God tells you to do. And these things that you set for the sign upon you, you know, it's just a lovely word that you have with you always. You know, if any love me, he'll keep my word. And my Father's going to love him. That's what Jesus said. and we will come and make our abode with you. That includes the Father. You walk with the Father. If Adam can walk with the Father, surely the last Adam can. There's even verses telling you that you do. There's two of them. You know, so I don't know all the verses that telling you you're walking with God, but how many times did he tell you to walk? You know, he told you to walk in 2:10 of Ephesians. I just thought of that one right now. So my bet is that the devil, he doesn't want you to know verses. So when someone's reminding you of something, it ain't him. It's God and his Holy Spirit. And he's omnipresent. So what sort of pressing in is God telling you to do here? To seek ye first the kingdom and righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. So press in. It's easy for God to take over you and do what he wants you to do. It's hard for us because, well, because it's easy for God to do it. And we just sometimes, you know, regress and feel uncomfortable or whatever. And we shouldn't. Because there's no greater joy than to serve God the Father. He actually knows if you're going to regress before you do it anyway. And he knows you're off there in La La Land again. And he's going to have to wake you up. You know, he said, man, I should have drowned this one. Took him to heaven. But no, he didn't do that at your baptism. Some people get the gift of tongues as soon as they come out of the water and start speaking in tongues. And that's because they're surrounded by people who know about that. And that's a double whammy there, and that's the way I think it's supposed to be. And or you can have it before and then get baptized, or after you get baptized with water. So, you know, all you know is you got to follow the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, but don't let the fire burn you. You got to let it burn you in a nice way and not a bad way to get that chaff out of you. That's why he tells you to take up your cross. It's an authoritative verse. Take up your cross and follow it. To lose your life, to gain your life. Because he did promise you 2 Corinthians 7:1. Which says, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We have to respect Father. You know what happened when you didn't respect your earthly father. You have to reverence your father. You have to honor your father. Now, I don't say that to make you feel bad. I say that because that's what Father told me to say. And if you don't fear the Lord, then one of your lights are out on your land. You know, you're a child of light. That's not it could be just an ember and he can bring it back on it. You know? We used to have those trick candles when we blew them out on your birthday, and they would go out and then they'd come back on. So, you know, a candle you can blow out and it'll just be an ember in the end of the wick, and that can reignite for God. So he knows how to do that kind of stuff, and he knows how to treat a bruised reed so that it don't break. He does a lot behind the scenes that we don't know about. And maybe one day when we finally get there, he's going to tell you, remember this day, Andrew? You wouldn't believe what I had to do to you on that day, you know? And it'll be a recording. That'll be your recording you'll watch in heaven. And you'll go, what? I was really feeling bad that day. You know, the footprints thing, I have it when you leave my apartment here. And it talks about sometimes there was two sets of footprints and then none. Well, I had to carry you there. And there's some good stuff like that. But you have to always be in his presence. And that's not up to you as much as it is about the God, the Father, doing it for you. Because he said he would. But we want, you know, there's the teenager who wants to be grown up. And he doesn't know how to do it. Some of them are real rotten failures. They get into all bad stuff. But if you get them off that bad stuff, even if you were to take him off his drugs and his bad smoking habit, his bad language, and give him a, what are those things called that there's snowmobiles that go on water, water skis, water jet, water skis, and you tell him to have fun with the other kids his own age, but train his mouth to be a good mouth. And he has this wonderful time he can go jet skiing or water skiing or swimming, water tubing, and things you don't really want to try at my age, but you want to still do when you're a teenager. And it's, you know, they can have fun being teenagers. And you can have fun being the older mom and dad that makes the hamburgers for that nice sunny day. They're in the kiddie pool. But someone's got to give them some Kool-Aid every once in a while. And, of course, Gran and Grandpa are there. They're having fun, too, even though they don't look like they are because they're just sitting on the lawn chair. But if everyone has their mind in the right place and their hearts, too, which is their consciousness toward God, then everything's okay in the family. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Teresa.
I think Debbie had something. Deborah had something first. Well, okay, well, what I was going to, she mentioned that scripture that if you seek the Lord, he'll be found of thee. Well, that's in one of them is in 1 Chronicles 28:9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. But I also wanted to bring out that God speaks us too. In Ezekiel 34, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. Well, you know, that's in the Gospels where he searches out the sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. Well, I believe that's the body of Christ, and will bring them to their own land, which I believe is in the Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel. Well, you know, we're spiritual Israel, by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture, Psalm 23, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be, and there shall they lie in a good fold. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Well, I believe that refers to the body of Christ as well. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down because we're grafted in, says the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And, you know, and then it goes on. So I just wanted to say God searches us out too. And so, but I understand what you're saying, that we have to press in when we're standing on the word, don't give up in the face of what it looks like. But just keep seeking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Debbie.
Okay, someone posted that that verse that I was mentioning about when he said, seek my heart. I thought it was heart. It's Psalm 27:8. I really love this verse. When he said, seek thou my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I just love that verse. So, anyway, and then I was thinking a couple of this came to me, and when Andrew was talking about Jesus telling them to go rest a little while, I gotta go back to where I was now. Okay, in Mark 6:31, he told them go away. Go away to spend some time with yourself and rest a little while. And then Song of Solomon 2:10, Jesus said, my beloved spake, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. So I just think those verses kind of are the same. He wants us to come away with him, seek him, spend time with him. And then there's rest, go rest a while. There's so much going on, They had to rest, and maybe we just rest and spend time and thinking on all the things that the Lord Jesus can teach them and saying to them. So, anyways, those are the verses I really thought meant something to me. So,
sorry about that, Debbie. I didn't know I was unmuted.
I was going to say, can I have one of those cookies?
It's not a cookie.
Oh, okay.
I'm not telling you what it is because it's really a lot better than a cookie. Ooh.
Okay. That's okay.
Are you through?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. All right. Anyone else? Let me ask y'all a question. Do any of you just get alone with the Lord every day? Or, you know, sometimes, and just ask him to come and talk to you about whatever it is that is on your mind, on his mind, or anything like that. Do you take time to allow the Lord to speak to you? I guess it's the question that I'm asking. Okay, I see one does. That's two. Amen. Okay. Yes, go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, I thought you were wanting an answer, actually. So I was just going to say that I like to do this daily reading, you know, to get through the Bible, like in a year. So you get the Psalms, you get the Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs, saying that continuously. And I would ask, I do ask the Lord to speak to me to that because, boy, it's amazing how he does. You know, it's not like just go to the scripture, go to that scripture, but I'm following And I've been getting so much out of just hearing from the Lord. Things jump out from the Old Testament, from the Psalms, the Proverbs, New Testament. And he really speaks to me, and I can pray those back to him. And that's what I like to do. I really love following that and waiting to see what the Lord's going to have jump out at me. It's kind of exciting.
So, yeah. Amen. Yeah, that's good. Anybody else do it a different way? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I don't always like necessarily just sit there and like
allow him to talk.
Huh? I don't necessarily like like if I'm reading the word or whatever, you know, I'll ask the Lord to talk to me or speak to me or bring something out to me as I'm reading the word or whatever, and you know, and I'll talk to him about it, you know, like I feel like he's showing me something or whatever, and I'll talk to him about it, you know. Lots of times I don't just, sit there and just listen. I don't necessarily do that too much.
Have you ever done it? I guess is the question.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I have.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Awesome. One of the ways that I do it is I always try to preface before I sit down and get alone with him is praising and worshiping God and speaking in tongues. Praising God and singing in tongues. That's just the way I do it. I don't know if anybody else does it that way or not, but that's basically the way that I do it. And then I'll sit down and put my notebook and say, Lord, you know, I'd like to hear from you. Give me what you got. I don't say give me what you got, but I say things that, you know, Lord, I'd like to hear from you today. I'd like some encouraging words or anything that you'd like to tell me. And just sit and listen until he speaks to you. He will. I don't do it near enough. But the time that I've done it has been such a blessing to me. And I'm sure it has to everybody else that does that. It's such a blessing. Sometimes it's not, you know, God doesn't correct like we do. Does anybody know that? He doesn't just slap you around and does that. He just gently tells you, maybe you need to do this. Maybe you need to do that. Try this out. That's just my experience. Anybody else? That's just doing that takes discipline, doesn't it? In my opinion, it takes discipline to get it started. And then once you get it started, you'll be looking forward to it. That's been my experience in the past. And I'll tell you this much, when I miss it for 2 or 3 days, you know, you can tell a difference in your spirit. Can you feel a difference, Debbie, if you miss a day or two? Yeah. Or anybody else? Julie? Teresa? Missy? Benjamin? Andrew? Anybody? Yeah. Me too. And I think that's why he wants us to do that more often, is to do it every day. And get that manna for today. Go ahead, Julie.
Just what you just said, like when I've missed being there and I really miss, you know, God and just being alone and being able to focus on him. And, you know, I do feel it. And I tell him that. So like, Lord, I miss you. I need you. You know, I just need to be alone with you. I need to be quiet and I need to hear you. And I just need to sit at your feet and feed on your word. And, you know, then I'll go into, Lord, there's just been so much distraction and the things I want to do. And, you know, and it just becomes, you know, just pouring out my heart there too. You know, and I need to do that. He knows. He knows. You know, nothing's hid from him. So, but it is, and I think sometimes, I don't know about you, but I think when we do have that time where we are far from him and we have that longing, you know, I think we need that too, where maybe he withdraws for a while so that we do feel that longing for him and we do, you know, yearn for him and desire him. You know, it's kind of like when you miss your friend, you know, and you haven't talked to him for a while and you really long to see him again or be in there, you know, talk with them and catch up and that kind of thing. And I don't know, it's kind of like that for me. You know, it's like you really miss him and you yearn to be in his company. And maybe, you know, we need that, you know, not so we don't take it for granted too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I was doing it waiting. I was doing it probably the same as Missy. I'm not really sitting there. I usually ask Lord when I'm reading or whatever, do ask him to speak me through his word, and I ask him to give me some visions. He usually gave me some visions or we talk, and when I'm doing speaking in tongues, he gave me some tongues. But most of it's my speaking. It's my speaking in tongues. He gave me visions. And sometimes I just know exactly what Lord's talking about, or just afterwards I have to think about it and ask him if I word something about what you want to say with visions and things. So I'm not spending really much time just sitting and waiting there. My thoughts is wandering off and I'm not really focusing on what's been at hand. I probably do it more, but that's what at the moment that I am. So.
You know what I believe the Lord just told me? He's very pleased with what we're talking about tonight. Very pleased. Jimmy, you got a song that we can play that's applicable to what we're talking about? Let me give you.
You wanna give me?
I need to let you in, here. Don't I? Okay.
Thank you.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, just to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice, word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty.
It's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Glory be to God. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yes, Joe.
Can I ask, do you mind if I play another song I want to sing to Julie?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Did I send it on email?
Oh, however you want to send it, Joe.
I send it an email.
Are you going to use Signal or email?
He said he sent an email. Oh, Lord, we thank you for being close to us. We thank you, Father, that you're drawing us closer. And the closer, and the more we seek you, Lord, the closer we'll get. You know, that's where the power comes from, when you peel away the flesh and Jesus starts coming through. Whew, glory to God. Remember what John said. He said, I must decrease so that Christ can increase, so that he can increase. That's the way it is with us. The more we spend time with him, the more we decrease.
Thank you.
good to hear. That's a good song. Thank you. Yeah, Sue, go ahead. Sue, you're muted. I don't know if you're trying to talk or not, but you're muted.
Okay. Now you can hear me, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to read some scriptures. In Philippians 3, starting on 7, but whatever things were gained to me, this is Paul speaking, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ.
Let us get there. Why don't you give us a little time to get there, and we'll read along with you, okay?
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. Philippians, how much?
Sounds good.
Philippians, how much?
Philippians 3, 7 to probably 16.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. I got it.
But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. It sounds like he was pressing on and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through truth in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I have laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have obtained. And I just think that's part of pressing on, is to gain him and to gain all that he's gone through and to be able to follow him and love him and just have that fellowship in such a strong way so that we can do his work, do what he wants.
Amen. That's some good, strong words there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
I like 17 to go along with it. Brethren, be ye imitators together of me, and mark them that so walk, even as ye have us for an example. Praise God. All right. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Well, let me ask this. Do you think that the Lord is pleased that we should spend time with him every day, alone with him every day? Of course, with the Word sitting there with us. Amen. I tell you, I do it like Eve told how she did it. And I sit down, I get my Bible, and I also get a notebook and a pen. I think a lot of you do that too. I just listen to see what he has to say and write it down. I've got some things in there that I went back the other day. I just Lord, what you have done to me, or you're doing with me. And it's good to go back, because sometimes you see some corrections that were made, like I did the other day, that you hadn't fulfilled yet. And so you go back and you, oh, okay. All right, I remember. I better go ahead and do that. Don't ask what it is, because I ain't telling you. Ain't none of your business. But anyway, all right, anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
I think for me is making time for the Lord a priority, and not, I think somebody touched on it earlier about not just giving him what we have left, or you know, say, I'll do that later, or I'll sit down later, or whatever, because next thing you know, you're busy and you get things, you know, and then it's, you know, 7, 8 o'clock at night, and okay, you get the left of me, you know, and I have a tendency to do that sometimes, but sometimes it's not planned that way. It's just how my day went, because there was trials, there was warfare, there was, phone calls, there was other things, and it's not like I wasn't asking, you know, Lord, you know, I knew he wasn't acting as if he wasn't here, because I needed help to do everything. But really to make time for him first and push everything off to the side, even though that's not always possible every single day. As you all know, there's these things that come up. But anyhow, it's just for me, you know, that's my heart. And I just ask, Father, right now I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help me to do that more, to make you the priority in my day, and not get distracted, and not thinking it'll, you know, you'll be there later. You're always here, but that's you're first. You're first, and, you know, but I invite you into my day, every day, with every thought and everything that I have to do. And just so I can sit and listen to you, wait on you, and seek your face every day. And it's just spend time alone. And waiting to hear your voice. And not be in a hurry, you know? Not be in a hurry and not thinking all these other things and the distractions. So help me to do that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And anybody else who's agreeing with that, have that same issue, or some days is better than others. Thank you for doing that for us, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was reading about John Alexander Dowie, who was healed Blake's family at one point in time. Healed his family, his brothers and sisters, and of course his wife also. And but Dowie, when he first started, he was pastoring a church. And there was a plague that hit that little town that they were in. And he came in one day, and one of the parishioners said, well, the piano player has gotten sick. I said, we don't know what to do. And he'd been praying for all of them, and they weren't getting much results. So he just got mad. He stormed out, and he had his Bible with him. And he walked over, and he was walking down, and he just saw a table and threw his Bible over there on it. the Bible opened up, and it opened up to Acts 10:38. And that changed his whole life. Acts 10:38, and I'll tell you what it says. Even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He had been teaching that everything came from God and that God was the one that made everybody sick. And then he found out, no, that's not right, that it's the devil. Even though the God might open the door, but it's the devil that does the work. So he took off running to the piano player's house, got over there, and just commanded that thing to leave, and it left. And he went to every parishioner that was in his congregation. And just did the same thing, commanding it to go. Every one of them was healed completely. He finally found out what it was. Instead of begging God, he started commanding the devil. That's very significant because there's a lot of people that want to pray to God for their healing when he's already healed us. It's a past tense thing. And I'm saying that, I'm not trying to change the subject or anything, but sometimes maybe we ought to go to the Word and find out what it is that we ought to be doing. I remember, I can't remember who said this. I heard it first from a lot of people that said it. Just read the Bible and then do the Bible. Whatever you read in the Bible, do it. And if you're not doing it, start doing it. And that's why I put up there, which one was it? John 15:4. Abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye, except ye abide in me. You cannot bear fruit without abiding in the Word. And the Word is Christ. And when you abide in the Word, you're abiding in Christ. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
And in the 14th chapter, he said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yes.
And if you love him, you know, you'll keep my word. And my Father will love you. And we will come and make our abode with you. You see, the person in the love chapter was lacking love, even though he had all that faith. Isn't that weird? You know, and they all did. He was naming gift after gift, you know, and wow, you have to obey God. If the rest of the county doesn't want to obey it, the rest of the state, the rest of the country, the rest of the United Nations don't want to obey it, then you still have to love him. And plus, he's your Father, and he loves you already. He gave you the love to love him with. That's kind of, you know, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but who gives the increase? He gave you a promise. A promise to practice his presence. if his presence is there, it's there because he promised you. Did he not call you? Did he not save you? He's there. So why not just practice his presence with those promises? You know, here you have a fellowship with Paul the Apostle and Apollos, and Apollos for watering and for planting. So with a fellowship, there's planting and watering being done all the time. And with a Bible study on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays, and even Fridays. You got the other days, but if you know God can read your mind, then how could you not practice his presence? So it's not your fault you got a lot of goofy things going on in your mind, but he knows what the goofy things are too. He knows when you're being tempted. And he wants to see what you're going to do about it. Everybody has to go and understand that they, at some point in time in your life, you already went through Romans 8, 20 and 21. Because, you know, that's the verse where it says he took all creation and made it a vanity. And then he takes all creation and makes you children of God after that in 21. So, he gave you that firm expectation and assured expectation of that hope, because he wants that to be in you. And there's even a verse somewhere that has both sure and firm. I don't know, maybe it has to do with that, anchor verse somewhere, you know. We have an anchor, steadfast and sure. But it says sure and firm. You know, I think it is that verse. I'm not sure where that verse is, so it would have to be the NENT though. So the presence of the Lord. Is it, maybe it's you 10% and it's him 90%. I don't know if it works that way. I'm just saying, you know, but I don't know if that's it, because it should be him all the time, you know, because we have to realize that he's got it all set up already for us. So, and he even tells us what's going to happen. Did he not tell you what's happening? Did he not tell you what's happening when the nations are mixing together across your Mexican border there? Where are those people coming from? There's a lot of people from those clay nations mixing with the iron and stuff, you know? So, and there's other things that he's telling you, you know, that you've already been warned of. You've already been told about it. So, should be nothing really new to you. Yes, especially if you know that Ecclesiastes 1:9 is going to happen again. You know, that which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing. They had Pharisees in Jesus' day and they got them today. They had Peters in Jesus' day and they have them today. You know, they had the Apostle John. And when you read the Gospels, they weren't sure of themselves. Is it I, Lord? But we have the blood of the Lamb. They didn't quite have it yet. So they were questioning themselves. They were questioning their flesh, I guess. Is it I, Lord, who's going to betray you? And we depend on the Lord to take care of that that flesh to put an end to it. Because he said he would in the word. He said that right there in those verses in Corinthians somewhere. You know, the meat's for the belly and the belly for meats, but God will bring to naught both it and them. So we have to cooperate and we have to love him. We have to obey him for that wonderful presence back to get rid of your flesh. Praise God. Glory to God. Presence, practicing his presence. Well, thou wilt show me thy path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I think it's pretty much covered there. God does it all anyway. He's the Father. He knows what he's doing. We have our problems and he knows what to do about them. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Joe.
I think also about drawing close to the Lord is John chapter 6, verse 63, when Jesus said, the words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life. It's only he that can make the words spirit and life in your life. In other words, if you have a relationship with him, that will be not a logo, that will be a rhema, it will be a word that you can hold on to. That's what he wants to do. My words are spirit and are life. That's what he is telling disciples. So that's to us as well. Speak my word, study my word, that's all. But that's what I read. Well, let me put it this way. I learned from Andrew quite a bit on just reading the Bible. In the last couple of weeks, a month, I just spending time each day just reading the Bible, nothing else, not teachings. I used to study teaching quite a bit, and I talked to the Lord about that. So I'm just reading the word. And that helps me quite a lot. Just reading the word, spending time. 2, 1, 2, 3, 4 hours, doesn't matter. Just reading the word. And that helps me quite a lot. That's all I want to say. Thanks.
Amen, Joe. That's right. Glory be to God. Reading that word is talking to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
Well, I was just thinking about the scriptures. Proverbs 2, where it says, Proverbs 2, chapter 2, I'm sorry, verse 1 and on, going to start in 2. It says, yea, if you cry out for discernment and lift up thy voice for understanding, you seek her as silver and search her as for hidden treasures, and then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And there's other verses like that, and to me that's really just crying out to seek to know the Lord and understand what he's saying when we do sit at his feet, and if we do seek his face, then want to understand what he's saying to us throughout the whole scriptures, the Old Testament, like what are all these things in the Old Testament mean when we transfer them into the New Testament by the Spirit and seeking those deeper things, you know, of his word and who he is, you know, to seek him and know the depths of God by the Spirit. Only the Spirit knows God into his heart. And
okay. Thank you, Lord. How many of you can get sick and tired of the devil winning in your prayer time when you pray for people?
He doesn't win. He doesn't win.
That's right. He doesn't. I think that when we get tired, I have, man, I've seen so much junk. When you get tired of the devil winning, and you pray and you pray and you pray and you devil, and that devil doesn't seem to be letting up any. And you keep praying and you keep believing and you keep confessing and you keep confessing and you keep praying and you keep believing. What does the Lord say when the devil keeps getting through sometime? What does the Lord say today? We talked about it when it first began. Yeah, Julie.
Is it just, you know, rest? Rest in the Lord and let Him do it? I mean, we do everything we know how to do, and having done all, you stand, and the battle belongs
Bingo.
To the Lord.
That's it. Yep.
Stand.
That's what you do. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. When it seems like all the devil does seems to be going his way, the Lord said, just stand. It's coming. It's coming. So I want to do something tonight. I want to pray for Jeff. I want y'all to believe with me, okay? Terry's Jeff. Can y'all believe that God will raise the dead? In the name of Jesus right now. Jeff, you come back. The word says that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. The enemy took him from us. Now you give him back. In Jesus' name, I command it. I bind up your works on his death. You command it to be, you to be healed. Now you come back. You will live and not die in the name of Jesus. You will live and not die in the name of Jesus. I command you to come back. Come forth, as the Lord said. Come forth and go back into your body and take care of business like the Lord has told you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for returning him back to his family. And I praise you for it, that it's going to be an awesome time, because you're going to get the glory. Doctors are not going to get the glory. And we praise you, Father. Jeff, be healed, be whole, and come back. In Jesus' name. Jeff McGinnis, you come back in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Jeff McGinley, come back now in Jesus' name. Yes, we speak life into his body. We speak every cell in his body to come back to life and be restored as new. Restored DNA, restored everything. And I praise you, Father, that it is done. We command that spirit of death off of him right now. You get your hands off of him. We loose you from him right now in Jesus' name. And Jeff, we command you to come on back, brother, in Jesus' name, and fulfill your walk with the Lord. And we thank you for it, Father, that it is done. In Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Glory be to God. We do. God for the double seat. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We praise you, Father. Devil, you get your hands off of that family right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I believe it's done. Thank you, Lord, for the good testimony we're going to hear. Praise God forevermore. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, anybody else? Father God, we just thank you for answering this prayer for Terry and us, Lord. In Jesus' name, I have Jeff. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And when he comes back, Lord, I thank you that he's got all his weight on him and every bone, every cell in his body is healed. Amen. Please pray with me. He's going to school today for the first time in 15 years. Amen. Lord, we just lift up Joshua to you. And we thank you, Father, that Joshua is going to thrive in this Christian setting. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, that his angels are going to be with him and guiding him. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is going to be guiding him and leading him. And he's going to be listening. And we praise you and thank you for that. We bind up any kind of attack from the enemy against Joshua that would try to steer him away in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that he will be listening and following the Lord the whole way. He's been brought up in the Word. And Father, we thank you that the Word will keep him on the right road. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for being with Joshua this whole time that he's in this Christian school. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Judy. Pray that. Amen. We bind off of Joshua all rejection and fear of rejection and any fear of man, worry, anxiety, and doubt. And Lord, we thank you that he's not going to be influenced by anybody but the Lord himself in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Joshua. And he's going to be seen as a man of integrity, as a young man of integrity. And we praise you for that, Father, for doing that for Joshua. Glory be to God. Angels, take care of him in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all agree? Amen. That's okay, Judy. I figured you'd have some trouble there. Praise God. Hey, we're out of time, aren't we? Glory to God. How many of you got something out of tonight? I did. Thank you, Jesus. It was good.
Amen. Yep.
Amen. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed.